4 o'clock, and it's like a bomb being dropped on you. Tell you at 4 o'clock, you got to preach at 6. I had a message that I was going to preach next Sunday. I was supposed to preach next Sunday night, but now they're going to have the Lord's Supper next Sunday night. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, that's why it always pays to be prepared. That's the way it is in life. You better be prepared to know where you're going to go if you die. I mean, if you're not prepared, you'll end up in hell. I mean, you might wake up and you'll be in hell. And, you know, are you you never know. Have your Bibles turned to 2 Samuel. And you're going to have to excuse me about the water because I take all this medicine and stuff. My mouth feels like I got a mouth full of cotton. I mean, this is, I can't take it. I was up here teaching that week. I feel like my lips are sticking to my teeth. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm going to begin reading with verse number 30. Chapter 2 Samuel 15, verse number 30. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and the earth upon his head. And then I'm going to jump down to chapter 16 and we'll read two verses there. Verse 1 says, And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the calling to God and wherein you called me to preach the word of God. And Lord, I ask you now that you clothe me with my calling. And God, I can't do nothing apart from thee. And Lord God, because this flesh is weak. And God, my mind forgets things, but God, you put in my mind and bring back to my remembrance what you had me preach. I pray, God, it be a blessing unto those that listen. I pray if anyone here lost, God, that they get saved. Lord God, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, but today, I ask you, God, to bless Sister Myra. I pray, oh God, you touch her body. Don't let her be hurt bad or nothing. Let her be all right. And bless Brother Joel. I ask you, God, to bless this church and these people, God, that become my family. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to note something here. You look at David as you read back over into chapter 15, and you read that before he got to the top of that hill, he had to start at the bottom. And that's the way it is. When you get saved and born again, you're starting at the bottom of a hill. And you're starting on a long and dusty journey, just like them boys were saying about. It's a long road you're starting down. And you start down that road, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to take place. I mean, you're new in this business. But 37 years ago, well, 39 years ago, about this time of year, I had my cousin call me and ask me, did I want to date this girl? And I'm real shy and backwards, and I told him, I said, I'll date her. So I went to meet her, and I go up there, and about I got there about halfway, and my cousin's wife said, oh, I've got to tell you, it's a preacher's daughter. I said, what? I mean, here I am, a Lutheran, you know. As she says, it's a Baptist preacher's daughter. You know, I had long hair, believe it or not, I had long hair. And I was in my car, my Super Sport and 66 Chevelle. And I was going up there. And I go up there, and I can tell you to this day, the dress she had on, I can tell you what she looked like. And we went to a party. And I'm telling you what, that changed my life that night. Not only did I get meet her and marry her, but God, through her, I got saved. And then God saved her because she seen herself not saved. I'm going to tell you what, it's a long journey that you're starting on when you get saved. And you say, well, I don't know what it's about. Well, you just sit down, you hang on, you get tight, and you just keep on going. Now, old David here, his son run him out of his kingdom. He run him off and took his wives, and here David was running, and he started, and he's going up to the top of the hill. And I want us to look at some things here. I want to bring a message on a little past the top of the hill. A little past the top of the hill. If you'll note here today, he was running out of his home, and he was running, and he didn't know where he was going. He was on a long journey. And as I said, August 15th, 1976, about 25 minutes to 9, I got saved. And I got birthed and born to the family of God. And my life changed, and I didn't know what was going to take place. I didn't know how this badness were. I mean, I've been dating my wife and stuff, and I've seen how things were with her. But when I got saved, and I truly got saved, I made a profession one time, but I didn't possess it. I didn't get salvation. I just made a profession with my mouth, and I didn't make possession with my heart. And therefore, I didn't start the journey yet. But then God split that church wide open, and God took me out of there, and took me and my wife out of there. And then God put us in another church, and where God saved my soul. You don't know what that journey's got to do. You don't know what it's going to be a little past the top of the hill. You don't know what's going to take place in your life. You don't know how you're going to end up. You don't know how your family's going to end up. Old David ended up here. His kid took his kingdom away from him. You take some kids today, we're living in a wicked generation where kids, they spit in the face of the mother and the father. They hate them for telling us, for declaring the truth. Let me tell you something, kids. The reason your mom and daddy tells you what they tell you, because they've been down a road. They've been a little past that far hill. They know what it is. I know what it is to be out in sin. I know what it is to see people and getting the devil coming on them and seeing people getting all hurt and maimed. I know what it is to get in fights. I know what it is to see people drinking. And I know the things. But you know what? I know what it is to get in the house of God and get filled with the Spirit of God and hear the touch of God on my life. Hallelujah. I'm glad today I'm a little past the top of the hill. Oh, Jesus Christ saved my soul and washed away my sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. And we know here, as we know here, it can be a rough climb. Oh, you take old David here. I'm sure going up the top of that Mount Olive. I guarantee you, when he was going up the top of that, brother, I guarantee you they had some slips and falls, the rocks in the past. You think it was a big road like out here going to the top of that hill? No, I expect it was just a little path. And all them people was trying to get up and go up it, and they was worried about Absalom after him and everything. But he's trying to get up to the top of that hill. It was a rough climb.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. Brother Keith, I've had some rough times in this life, but I've had some good times, Brother Robert. I've had some good times. It's been a rough climb, and there's been things happening in my life. But you always got to remember, 1 Peter says, be ye sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he's seeking you out tonight. He didn't come upon you by chance. He's looking for the weakness in you. He's going around, he's seeking you out.
Right.
You take a lion goes forth after a herd of antelope or whatever, he goes after them, he picks out the weak one. A water buffalo, he picks out the weak one. And he goes after that weak one. And he'll take it down. That's just how he is here. That's just how he is on this earth. He's trying to seek you out and take you down. Why? Because he knows he's going to hell. He can't take you to hell if you're saved. But he knows he can get you down and you won't get nobody else saved. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. A little past the top of the hill. Now you take as a rough climb. For 38 years, me and my wife have been married. And it'd be 39 years this April. But for 39 years when I met her, and then I got in church, and we got to go into church and got saved, and our lives have changed, and I've seen many of things happen in my life. I've seen many of things happen in my family. Many of bad things and many of good things. I've seen God come in and take His hand and work through all the weevil and move around things and make things come out to His glory.
Yeah.
Hey, these babies that got up here and sang this morning. Hey, good God. Thank God that's my grandbaby. I'll tell you what, they didn't jump by laying back and letting the devil kick you around. I'll tell you what, I've been down and I've been out, but I'll never give up. I'll tell you what, I kept hanging in there. You just keep hanging in there. And then one day God will give you something to be proud of, something to feel good about. I've seen them babies singing tonight. I'm telling you what, I mean, this morning, I just blessed my heart.
Amen.
But I tell you, I'm blessed of God. It's been a rough climb. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting to be a good climber. I'm getting where I can climb good. I'm getting where I can climb up that hill. And sometimes I might slip. And the rock's getting sort of loose under my feet. But I tell you what, I get myself back up. And I keep going on. And old David, he just kept pressing on. Because he knew God was on his side. And God's on my side tonight.
Amen.
I tell you what, Jesus Christ is good. Over in Ephesians 6 and verse 8 says, as soon as I get there, Ephesians 6 and verse 8. Let me calm down. Over in Ephesians 6 and verse 8. Now you think I wrote all these verses down and I wrote that one down. There we go. Over in Ephesians 6 and verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing anybody... Is that what I want? Knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall be he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. I'm glad Jesus Christ, He comes unto us, and He says, you do unto man, and you do to them, you're going to find out, buddy, it's going to come back one way or the other. People say, well, that's karma, or whatever they want to call it. Yeah. I'll tell you what, as they say, what goes around comes around. And I'm going to tell you what, old Absalom, what he done to his father, and he run him out, and David left the king, didn't want to see his son hurt. He kept telling him, don't kill him, don't hurt him. But yet he died anyway. And see, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad a little past the top of the hill, and I'll see the provisions that the Lord has for me. But a little, you will come to realize a little past the top of the hill is a realization that you've got to come to. I said, first of all, you've got to come to a realization in your life that, hey, you're lost, that you're not saved, and that you need to be born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm glad one day that I see myself lost. I see myself going to a devil. Until you see yourself wicked and vile, and you see yourself going to hell, you'll never get saved. You got people say, well, you know, I've always been good. I've always done good. I ain't never done no bad. I'm going to tell you what, the Bible says that if you know to do good and don't do it, that's bad. I mean, that's my Shakespeare version there. But I'm going to tell you what, people today, they want to say that they're so good and they've never sinned. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible says Jesus died once and for all.
Amen.
Hey, I'll tell you what. The other day, or was it yesterday, I think, I was sitting there, me and my wife, I was in my bedroom, and I was talking to her, and I heard these women talking on the front porch to my son-in-law. And she said, who is that? I said, Jehovah Witness. I know who it was, sure as the world. And so I went out there, and I couldn't help it. He was talking, boy, here I went. My son-in-law, he said, I didn't know you was going to preach to them. I got out there, boy, I started getting mad and mad. Because I get to thinking about their damnable heresy that they go around spreading and they damning people's souls to hell. And I got to telling them people, and when they walked off the porch, I said, well, Merry Christmas. Even though you don't believe in it, Merry Christmas. And if you go to heaven, if you don't go to hell, I hope I'll see you in heaven. Hey, that woman trying to tell me, oh, we believe in Jesus. Oh, they believe Jesus is just a man. They don't believe that he's maybe a God. They don't believe he's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They don't believe three in one. They don't believe you can have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They still be the same. They don't believe that. I'll tell you what, you'll die and go to hell if you don't believe that. Because he's God, Jesus Christ is God. He said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was God. This Bible is the Word of God. I believe it. I tell you, every time I believe it, this is the Word of God. I try to read the Word of God. I try to hide it in my heart. I want to have it in my heart because I know there's a realization one day that's going to come to me, that's going to tell me, and I'm going to know the fact that all this stuff coming true, Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, that's Bible probably tells about people like you who say, I've heard that all my life. But He's coming again. You got to realize. But get your life straight with God. Walk that straight and narrow path. And get your life, your eyes tuned in on Jesus Christ. And reach up to touch that portal of the glory. And get over the throne room of God. And get prayer. And get the power of God on your life. I'll tell you what. Just a little past the top of the hill. A little past the top of the hill. And then we have rejoicing. Over at 2 Samuel 15 and 15 verse 32. You bear with me. 2 Samuel 15 verse 32. I said here in verse 32, he said, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God. How many times you ever really worship God when you're in the valley? Hey, buddy, when you in the valley and you scrubbing your nose in the mud holes and you trying to get up out of the mud hole, you ain't praising God much. All you trying to do is get up and get up and just get up one more time. But I'm going to tell you what, you get on top of the mountain. It said David worshiped God.
Yeah.
He's on top of the mountain.
Right.
Yeah. But a little past the mountain, just a little past the top of the mountain. You see there, a little past the top of the mountain. You see here, when you're on the mountain, God's good, buddy, but when you're starting over and a little past the top of the mountain, boy, I've had some of the great times of my life because when I get back in fellowship with God and I get up there on the top of the mountain and I'm praising God and I walk maybe a little bit over the mountain and then God just comes in with all His blessings with all the glory of God. And buddy, you just can't stand it no more. Because God is good. I tell you what, these people preach all this wealth and all this stuff about God will give you wealth and health and all this if you're living for Him and everything. Well, I'll tell you what, I know this woman was the godliest woman you ever know. I named my middle girl after her. And that woman loved God, but she was as crippled as she could be and couldn't get out of bed and loved God. You go see her. Every time you see her, you was praising God, lifting up God and giving God the glory. I'm telling you what, we don't do that. And we've got good bodies and good hands and stuff, but we don't do that because we can't see a little past the top of the hill where God is going to glorify us. That woman caught a glimpse of glory and she seen a glorified body is what she seen. She just says, this body's temporary. It's just temporary. It's not permanent. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, I had to take medicine for my heart. I had to take medicine for my diabetes. I had to take medicine for this, medicine for that, all this stuff. Hallelujah. But I get to heaven, I don't have to worry no more.
That's right,
man. My wife's blood pressure has been up real high. My blood pressure stays around 100 over 50 or something like that real low. She said, good Lord, you ain't got no blood pressure. I tell you what, thank God. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I've been birthed into the family of God. A little past the top of the hill. There's going to be some rejoicing. And old David, buddy, he was worshiping God on top of that hill. And up on top, he was on top of the hill, he was worshiping God. But then you see the reunion. You had the realization and rejoicing. And then the reunion that he had. He had a reunion on top of that mountain. Because see, he was down in the valley. And he was coming up that hill. And when he got up the top of that hill, he had a reunion with God. Tell you what. I'm glad these days, buddy, I get low and get discouraged, Brother High said this morning. But I'll tell you, Donald, what, some days, buddy, you go on your speech just by yourself. And God will bless you. He'll give you a blessing if you'll let Him.
Amen, God.
Most of the time, people don't want a blessing. Most of the time, we're too busy with all our other problems to let God bless you.
Yeah.
Hey, there's many different kinds of blessings. I mean, I can be blessed by seeing, hearing my grandbaby sing or hearing somebody else sing. I can be blessed by maybe see something happen out in the world. I can be blessed when I'm out hunting and seeing that big deer walk out there. Yeah, I'm blessed. I like that. I tell you, God blesses you in many different ways. If God wants to bless me, I say, bless me, Lord. I want you to. I want God to give me everything I'm supposed to get. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, well, you sure you could have got this if you would have let me give it to you. I don't want to do that. Man, I want whatever thing God's got to give me. I don't want something, Brother Keith, that God don't have and don't want me to have. I did that before. Oh, I want a new car. Go out and get that new car and then can't pay for it. Why? Because God didn't want you to have that car, but you know that every place you go, there's different finance companies that you can go to until you get somebody to give you something. And then you get out the will of God, and then you can't pay for it.
Yeah. Right.
I used to be bad about cutting every daggum finance company's ribbon when they put it up and open the place up. I'd go from one finance company, give them a go over. Next thing you know, I was so far in debt, I couldn't do nothing. That wasn't of God. God ain't in that. God don't want you doing that stuff. He wants you to be able to live for Him. He wants you to be free from this world.
That's right, bro.
We get ourselves connected down this world so far with worldly things, and we hang on to them. And then we get so earthly minds, you know, heavenly good. I mean, you're not good for nothing. You just all you think about the things of the world. You say, well, that can't help. Let me tell you something. Back when I worked at Freightliner, I worked all the time. I worked every time the doors was out. I stayed two shifts. I made all kind of money. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. That money ain't the evil. But I'm going to tell you what. But I got my eyes on that money. And I started looking at what I could do and what I could do. And I worked. And I worked myself to death. And I made all this money, making this money, making this money. And you know what? When God cut me off after 14 years, and my job went just like that, and I went down to nothing, God showed me what that money was. That money wasn't nothing. It's the power of God, the glory of God, being in the will of God. That's what makes you happy.
Yeah.
It ain't money. Money can't make you happy. Hey, I mean, you might feel good for a while. You might feel good taking drugs for a while. But when it all comes drinking for a while, hey, I've laid in the bed with my foot hanging off the bed trying to keep the bed still. It don't work. But I'm telling you what, I've been in the house of God, in the glory of God, and the power of God come through. And buddy, I can go out rejoicing, and I can be high as a kite on the glory of God.
Yeah.
I ain't drunk. I'm just happy in Jesus and praising God forevermore.
Yeah.
I didn't get that in the bottom of a ditch somewhere. I didn't get that at the bottom of a mountain. On top of the mountain, you worship God. But Robert, you've been in many valleys, I guarantee you. And you've been up on many mountains. Hallelujah. Let's look and see what happened. And there was a reunion there. There's a reunion. He met with God Almighty up there and worshiped Him. He worshiped Him. And then next of all, I want you to see there's a replenishing. In 2 Samuel 16, in verse 1, it says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill. And he's just a little past the top of the hill. Can you see a little past the top of the hill? You've got to be on the hill before you see a little past it. And you get up on that hill, and then you can see over the hill a little ways. Hallelujah! I'm glad on top of that hill. Old David looked over there, and what did he see? He said, a little past top of the hill, Bold Ziba and the servant of Mephibosheth met with him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. But he had food for his stomach, and bread, that is the main thing that you got to have for a source of strength. And that Word of God is the bread of life. And you got to have that Word of God in your life as a child of God, or you won't have no strength in this life.
Amen.
You won't be able to handle all them problems and all them troubles that comes your way. You won't be able to handle them when something happens in your life. Because you're not filled with the bread of life. You've been playing around. You ain't looked a little past the top of the hill. You ain't saw all that bread and on them asses. You ain't saw all that bread and fruit. And you ain't saw that wine hanging down. That wine's a type of the joy of God. It's a type of the joy. Tell you what, I'm going to look over. I want to look over that mountain. I don't want to be down behind the mountain. I don't want to be peeking up over the mountain. I want to be on the mountain looking over. Hey, when you're over up top looking, you just step over just a little. You can see down the other side.
Right.
So David, he was up there and he got all that food and he got all that stuff there for him. And he says, what does this mean? And the king said to Ziba, and he said, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses will be for the king's house to hold to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. I'm going to tell you what, I've been dry many a time to come to the house of God, and God had the right message for me. He had it in the right time, at the very time I needed it. And there you go, God poured out a blessing. And but I just opened my mouth and let the wine flow in of the blessings of God, and it just took and made me all not thirsty no more. My mouth wasn't dry. My heart wasn't dry, brother. I had my cup was running over.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He restored my soul.
Yeah.
Tell you what, he'll replenish you if you let him.
Amen.
Hey, you can't go all week and don't pray and don't read and then come in the house of God and say, well, bless me if you can. It don't work that way. You got to stay prayed up and you got to stay read up and have the Word of God pumping in your veins and be able, like them Jehovah Witnesses, now after they left, well, I was thinking all kinds of things. I should have said this. I should have said that. I reckon if I hadn't let the flesh got in the way, brother, now I would have been all right. But I declare I got mad. Why? Because I know what they're spreading. And that woman tried, oh, no, no. I said, talked about hell, and I said, the rich man in hell. Oh, that's a parable. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't no parable. God never called no names out in no parable. Well, He did in that chapter. Oh, that's a parable. I said, well, you'll find out when you go to hell if it's a parable or not.
Right.
Oh, they probably went out, yay, we got some rewards for getting hollered at and stuff. They better listen. They better heed the call. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's a great white throne of judgment. Their blood won't be on my hands. I'm going to tell you that. When they die and go into hell, and they see all the people they've damned into hell, they see their blood, they'll know it.
Yeah.
No doubt I'll have somebody's blood on my hand, but God, I hope I don't. But I know there's probably times in your life you should have witnessed. You should have looked a little past the top of the hill and saw that lost soul down there and went down there and told them about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we was all up in ourselves, all up doing the things we wanted to do instead of replenishing our soul with God and with the Spirit of God. And getting with the power of God in our lives. We didn't go just a little past the top of the hill. I'm going to tell you what, in these last days, over in 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Have you ever seen any times like today? You've never seen. I've been saved 38 years. 37, you'd be 38 years in August. I've been saved. But I tell you, I've never seen the time like there is today. I've never seen the things that's come to pass like that. I was talking to my brother, which he's lost. And I told him, you got to talking about, Obamacare, they talking about putting this thing underneath your skin, you know, where they can scan it to see if you got insurance and all that. That's just coming to pass, the Word of God. But I knowed about that years ago. The number 666. Oh, yeah, the devil, that's the devil's number. And they say, well, I won't do it. Let me tell you what, you'll do a lot of things when you go somewhere and your baby's hungry or your belly's growling. You'll say, well, stick it in there. You better not talk what you're going to do. You better just do what God says to do. You better repent. I better repent. I better get the power of God on my life. And I better look a little past the top of the hill. Because one day Jesus Christ is coming back. Because one day, a little past the top of the hill, that trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to get out of here.
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, I'm not there yet, and I'm not ready to sell out for God. I'm going to tell you what, you better get ready. He's coming, ready or not. Whether you want Him to or not, He's coming.
Amen.
I tell you what, I've walked in this life long enough. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of this old flesh. I'm ready to go be with the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want Him to just kill me right now, but you know, I'm just telling you, I'm ready to go when the Lord gets ready. I done been that route when I had that heart attack, laying down there and everybody walking by me, looking at me like I was already dead. I didn't like that. Brother, I didn't like that. I didn't have that grace, brother. I didn't have that dying grace at that time. You know what? I believe when it comes my time to die, it wasn't my time to die then. I believe when it comes my time to die, and God will give you that dying grace. Hey, all I could think about is I didn't want to leave my family. I was ready to go. I was ready to go, brother. I was ready to get out of this life. But I didn't want to leave my kids. I had a grandbaby just born. Little Timothy, he was just born. And I thought, well, I want to see him grow up. Thank God, God's let me see them come up in the house of God. See my kids grow up in the house of God. All of them's got good husbands living in the house of God. One preaches the Word of God. Thank God, God's been good to me. I'm ready to go. I'll tell you what. It says here. It says there without. For men shall be lovers of their own self. What the world you mean? Just like this stuff of talking about this morning about that Phil Roberts, that duck commander. And just he just talked about the Word of God. And all these people mad, and the gays are mad. That's what it says here. It says they're without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hey, what do you see? You see these churches running thousands of people. I tell you what, put Preacher Hyde in there and let him preach a couple Sundays. There won't be no thousands of people there. No, sir, I guarantee you there won't be no thousands. Hey, that's why this church ain't packed out and had to build you. Because they don't want the Word of God. They got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hey, I'm not stupid. All you got to do is start giving them candy. Get you a bus route. Give things away and all from this and all from that. Just don't give them God. You'll fill this place up building that. But I'll tell you what, we got to stand for God one day. I want to stand and God say, thy good and faithful son. I might have done a lot of things not right, but God knows my heart. I've never not preached the Word of God. But I've always tried to preach God's Word. I've tried to be honest. I've tried to take that Word and preach what God tell me to. God's my witness. I've stood and preached the Word of God. A lot of things I ain't done right, but I've preached the Word of God. This old King James Bible, I'm going to tell you what, the King James Bible, how's God going to take it and get me up before Him and judge me out of a book if I don't know what the book says? I ain't no Hebrew. I ain't no Greek. I can't talk all that stuff, but I do have the English. I can slaughter it, but I tell you what, I know what the book says. And God's going to judge me out of that book right there. He said, and the books were open. And I believe that book's going to be one of them. He can't judge me out of something I've never read. But I'll tell you what, He gave me this book. And I've read this book. If you ain't read it, it's just your sorriness. Amen. It's just, I mean, people, the flesh is weak. You got to beat the flesh under subjection. You got to beat it daily. I'm telling you, this old flesh don't like it. I heard a preacher say one time, you take a white dog and a black dog. Now, they'd get you for racism or something if you say that, you know. But you say you take and feed that white dog. Well, we better change it. We feed the black dog more than the white dog. We'll put it that way so they can't say I'm racist. But you take and feed one more than the other, and you put them in a fight. Who's going to win? That weak one's going to get killed. The one strong one's going to whoop him. That's the way your flesh is. You feed the flesh more than the spirit, and you see what happens. You see what happens. You feed that flesh. You go out and do all these worldly things. You go out and do all this stuff you want to do. And you don't hear the Word of God. You don't pray. You don't read the Word. You don't seek God. And you see who gets over on you. You be doing the things of the flesh. Hey, it says, and that from a, it says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And man, you've never seen the time like that is today. Oh, they learning everything. They learning how to do this, learning how to do that. But they still can't come to this book and learn it. They don't know the knowledge of the truth. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, it says you're going to suffer persecution. If you're saved and born again, you're going to suffer.
That's right.
I've had them come up to me and tell me they're going to punch me in the nose for leaving a track on their toolbox. That didn't bother me. You know what? Because I know they're going to hell. They lost just like I was one time.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody had to tell me about Jesus. Somebody had to let me know, but His blood's not on my hands. Hallelujah. It says, but continue thou in these things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. If you get in this book, even if you love God, it'll show you how to be saved. He'll show you. He says, you've been in Scripture. You've had this Bible around you all your life. Most times people go home, they got a Bible on their coffee table. Brother, people walk by that Bible. The family comes in, goes by that Bible. They come in and out. The truth laying on the table. It's just laying there. Well, you got to get the book up and give it to them. You don't think that book's going to jump up and hit them in the face? They say, well, I don't like to discuss the Bible. Well, why not? Because you don't know it. That's why. That's what the problem is. You got to know this book. You got to hide this book in your heart. And you got to show people to come in. Show them how to be saved. Tell them what Jesus said. We're in a day and time where nobody wants to talk because they're afraid they'll be persecuted like that Phil Roberts is on the duck commander. They persecuted him just for saying the truth.
Amen.
We need more people like that. He might look like a big woolly bear, but I'm going to tell you what, God, at least he's on there doing something for God, telling the truth. Hey. It says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what? But His book, it'll keep you with God or to keep you from God. I'm going to tell you. You get this book, you've saved and born again, buddy, you'll get close to God. And you get in this book, you'll get close to God. Hey, if you don't get in this book, you'll get further away from God. Further away from God. You say, but I'm saved. Well, if you're saved, won't you act like it?
Amen.
Them kids sung this morning about your heart would bear witness to people. And many times your life is the only Bible people's going to read. And they look at your life and they say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's a shame. That's a shame. I don't want to know that somebody stands in the face of God and says, well, you know, I thought he was acting like a Christian, said he was one, but no. I want God to be pleased with me. Let me ask you tonight, are you standing a little past the top of the hill? Have you seen a little past the top of the hill? Have you seen the fact where Jesus is coming? Where He's coming back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to come back. He's going to tread them like a wine press. Hey, we're going to be riding with them.
Wow.
Hey, I've rode horses quite a few years, and I've been kicked and bit and cut and finger ripped open by putting a horseshoe nail on and all this stuff. But thank God, I'm going to ride one day. It's going to be just my horse, going to be fit for me. And my wife, we went riding one time, and she a horse stopped and started eating. We was on the trail, and she said, what I do? And the horse is standing there. She was scared to death because she didn't like horses to start with. Hey, she'll have one just to fit her. And she'll be her horse, and she come riding back. Hallelujah. I tell you what, thank God for the blood of the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Made it all possible.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And God, I pray, God, tonight, that everyone here, God, if they got that vision, they see a little past the top of the hill. And God, they're not at the bottom and staying at the bottom. They're coming up that hill. And God, they're going to get on that mountaintop and worship you and give you praise and glory and all. You're going to have a reunion one day when you blow the trumpet and then we go up to be with thee.
Yeah.
God, I pray, God, give us a vision tonight of somebody looking a little past the top of the hill. I pray, oh God, you'd help us now. In Jesus' name, let's all stand up.